You can turn to Hebrews chapter 11. We have read already Hebrews chapter 11. That's where my text is found today. It's not as if we haven't preached on this before. But why would we only preach on it once or twice or three times? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Surely our experience witnessing at that rock and roll so-called Christian festival, that obscenity that Franklin Graham put on yesterday, brings this verse home to us with even more force. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, in the closing verses of the preceding chapter, the apostle has been exhorting the readers to faithfulness and patience in all things at all times. Understand the context of what he's saying here. There's been an exhortation, an urging onward to be faithful in all things at all times. And in the last two verses, if you'll look there, Hebrews chapter 10, he says, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them," speaking of the true Christian, "who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." The just, those justified by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. He speaks of the just, those in whom the Holy Ghost has worked faith, and then by faith new life. The just will not draw back into the old life, into the old ways, into the old deceptions, into the old ungodly selfishness and even unbelief. The just shall live by faith, the apostle says. The just shall live by faith. The just shall persevere in faith by the preserving power of God. Now the just shall live by faith, he says. Then faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What is faith? The just shall live by faith, but what is faith? I mean, this is a timely question. And this day, when there are more false converts than true. And why would there not be so many false converts when there's such a neglect of God's righteousness? The preaching of the righteousness of God. Such a neglect of His law in preaching. No wonder there's so many false converts. Considering the man-centered gospel, which is so popular today. Considering the neglect there is of preaching on regeneration. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Yesterday, Franklin Graham was seducing people back to the old things that should be passed away. But if one is in Christ, these things have passed away. There's not a taste or a desire for that anymore. But for the new things, the new wine. There's a spiritual man with spiritual discernment, seeking after spiritual things and heavenly treasures. What is faith? Well, if we answer that question, and we will with God's help from the Scriptures, at least briefly, then we raise another one. Perhaps many people really don't want to answer that question, what is faith? Not really, because it raises another one. Do you have faith? Now, true faith is by grace alone, but true faith is never alone. True faith worketh by love and always produces works. Faith without love for the Lord, His Word, His people, His church, the lost, cannot be true faith. So examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith, or whether ye be reprobates, as Paul says. Faith without works can't be true faith. It shows itself to be a dead faith. But I will tell you, these are only the effects of faith. I am not talking about the effects of faith today, or not preaching about it. This scripture verse we are looking at, we have it before us. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We are asking the question, what is faith? Not what are the effects of faith, but what is faith? What is faith? Do you have faith? Are you perhaps collaborating with the devil in a deadly deception? If you are, you'll have all eternity to weep and gnash your teeth because you've treated this matter so lightly. What is faith? Do you have faith? Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith alone. Now we know that our evangelical duty as Christians is to make known the way of salvation through repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. This is our duty. It's our responsibility to set before sinners the righteousness of God, the unrighteousness of man, the eternal judgment on sin. It is our responsibility to urge them to flee from the wrath to come and to seek the Lord's mercy. And we Christians know that justification and of course then salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. But what is faith? What is faith? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 answers that question clearly, succinctly, and comprehensively in just a very few short words. We can't neglect this issue. What is faith? There's very little talk about what is faith. But there ought to be a talk about what is faith. I saw, prior to going to this Rock the River event, I saw a video clip of one of the rock and roll band members that Mr. Graham is using, and they are using him. None are being used for the glory of God and the good of souls. But I saw him say, it is all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Doesn't that sound good? It's all about his Jesus. What he's actually saying is, and we know it by the fruit of what he's doing and other things he says and they say, it's not about the Word of God. It's about this Jesus that we have created. It's not about faith. It's about a lifestyle, a different lifestyle than what you're living right now, so that you don't hurt yourself, so that you don't injure yourself. We'll get you out of drugs. We'll get you happy again. It's all about Jesus. Franklin Graham's Jesus is not my Jesus. It's another Christ. It's another spirit. And what is faith? What is faith? We have the answer here. May God help us to understand and to take the answer to heart, and make a right application. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You may have heard somewhere that faith is a sinner making up his own mind to give his life to Christ. I am not here today to mock anyone that says that. There was a time I would have used that same sentence very sincerely. I'm not saying that someone preaching like that, that God doesn't ever use him to win souls, but I'm saying you've heard this is faith. Give your life to Christ. Make a decision for Christ. Ask Jesus into your heart. And once you've done it, you've made the pledge, you've signed the card, which I will say I never got into any of that. I'm simply saying all of us have probably used certain phrases is all I'm saying. And we're not here today to mock sincere people. I'm simply saying you've heard it. You've heard this. Ask Jesus into your heart and then never doubt. Doubts are of the devil. Sign on the dotted line. This is something we've never done by the grace of God. Got into that sort of evangelism at any time. Sign on the dotted line. Come forward. Make a decision. Now that you've done it, you've done it, you've done it, you've done it. Never doubt. Well, this isn't faith. These are all confusing deceptions. This isn't faith. Faith is not you deciding to do something. Faith is not you making a decision. Faith is not you inviting Jesus into your heart. That's not faith. And the Lord's people, and certainly the Lord's ministers, seek to persuade men. We do seek to persuade men to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We seek to persuade them to look inward at their own fallen hearts and their filthy sin. We seek to persuade them to look backward at their own folly and transgressions. We seek to persuade them to look into the Word of God, at His own unyielding righteousness. We seek to persuade them to look forward to their own pending death, their own demise, and the eternal hell that awaits them, the wrath of God and the hell which waits, which the immutable law of God demands as the wages of sin. And we do urge Christ on sinners. We do urge Christ on sinners. I say, we preach Christ to them. We urge Christ to them as their only hope of salvation. We do urge them to seek the Lord, to look unto Jesus and be saved. But this isn't even faith. I say the gospel preached properly is not faith itself. It's the gospel preached properly. Faith is an actual, powerful, transforming, lasting, sovereign work of God in the heart of a man. I can't create faith by preaching the gospel. God uses the gospel to work faith in the heart of the man. Faith is by the grace of God. It's an accomplished fact. It is an efficacious reality. This is what faith is. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The word here, hoped for, hoped. It's translated from a Greek word which means a confident expectation, a sure thing, if you will. It is a sure thing. It's not hope as the world has hope. What is this hope? The scriptures tell us we have this hope laid up in heaven for us. Colossians 1, verse 5. The scriptures say in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8, but let us who are of the dark be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. This is the hope. It's the hope of salvation. The scriptures say in 1 Timothy 1, and the verse is 1, the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. He is our life. We have life in Christ. Jesus Christ is our hope. And in Him we have salvation. Eternal life. Titus chapter 1 verse 2 speaks of the hope of eternal life which God, who cannot lie, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. This is the hope that we're speaking of. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The word substance in the Greek has the meaning of setting under. It's a setting under. The sense it's a solid undergirding, a foundation, an immovable foundation. But it means more than this yet. It means that there's an assurance, there is a confidence. And so there is this abiding, solid, constant, immovable assurance of the things hoped for. Namely, the remission of sins, justification by the imputed righteousness of Christ, the adoption as a child of God, eternal life in Christ. All this is comprehended in salvation. And of course, the resurrection. When this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality. These are the things hoped for. And faith is the substance of the things hoped for. The unbeliever doesn't have this. He's alienated from God. He's at enmity with his Creator. He's a child of wrath. He's dead in his transgression and sin. He can only expect wrath. He can only expect eternal hell, the searing torments of hell. He can only expect no peace. There is no peace, saith my God, unto the wicked. No peace, no peace. Only torment in hell. Now the Christian has a sure hope in Christ. He's sure. This is a spiritual sureness. This is an absolute sureness. This is an unyielding, unshakable sureness that he's passed from death to life, from darkness to light. He knows he's been translated into the heavenly kingdom of Christ. He has a sure hope that he's a child of God. He's a sure heir of salvation. He has all the spiritual blessings which are his in Christ. He has this hope. And his faith securely undergirds that hope. It gives him an absolute confidence in it and a reassurance of it. Now, this assurance of faith is no mere man-made, man-determined confidence. It is not an attitude. It is not a determination. It is not an opinion. It is not a decision. Faith is a substance which God works within the soul. It's not you just simply saying, I will believe something. I have decided this. God works faith in the soul. It is a substance worked by God in the soul. It's heaven sent. It's spirit worked. Now you've heard some well-meaning Christians tell adversaries of the gospel, well, if you're wrong, look what you have to lose. If I'm wrong, I have nothing to lose. That's not faith. Faith does not allow. It doesn't allow or suggest that the gospel could not be true. I say it does allow it. It's not the man saying, no, no, I won't allow that. No, no. It's faith saying I won't allow it. It won't let the Christian say such a thing. Oh, he might say it, but I'm saying faith. It's at odds with faith. I would think his own conscience would cry out against what he just said. Faith doesn't allow this, because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And the one who's blessed with true faith has the substance of things hoped for. He has it. How can he say, if I'm wrong? I can't be wrong. Faith tells me I'm not wrong, can't be wrong. I have the substance of it. It's here. And the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, with our spirit, with the spiritual man that has faith, that has the substance. Faith doesn't say, what have I got to lose? Faith can't say that. Faith is an absolute assurance of what has been gained. That's why it produces a growing peace and joy in believing. Peter speaks of Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I mean, if you have a dry sort of, I don't know what to call it. I have this doctrine and I have this knowledge and I can recite these verses. Where's the love of Christ? Where's the joy unspeakable? Is there a joy growing in your heart? A joy in Christ? A joy unspeakable and full of glory? Proverbs 4 verse 18 says, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Or did you just assent to certain principles, true as they are, that were put before you and say, now I have faith? Do you have faith? Do Do you have faith? You can say, the just shall live by faith. You can say it with meaning. You can say, here I stand. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Faith is the absolute assurance of what has been gained. It's not a what have I got to lose proposition. How could it be any other way? If you can say with Job, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he will stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. That is faith. Not what have I got to lose. This is faith. What should this produce then in your life? You may have heard those who press sinners to say a prayer, and then they say, now just ignore all those nagging doubts you have. That's just the devil. That's just the devil. You said the prayer. And yet you are constantly having these doubts about your salvation. Don't give in to the devil, brother. All those doubts you're constantly having, that's the devil. But I will tell you today that those who are truly in Christ are not plagued by doubts about the salvation of their souls. They may be shaken somewhat in their faith by great trials. They may wrestle at times in soul searching concerning the ways of God. Their faith may be weak, but they still have the substance of things hoped for. And you and I dare not simply say, well, his faith is weak or my faith is weak. They have faith. Faith produces works. And the path of the just is as a shining day. Proverbs 4:18, as a shining light. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Those with faith don't doubt their salvation, because the just shall live by faith. And faith is the substance, the very substance within of things hoped for. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 speaks of this hope, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. Maybe you're listening to me right now, and you're saying to yourself, all right then, I better determine to have that sort of assurance. Do you have it or not? I'm not telling you just determine to have it. I'm saying, do you have it? If you don't, you don't have faith. That's faith. Sure and steadfast. Do you have it? Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Don't suddenly say, now the pastor says that I should just make up my mind that that's going to be me. God makes up his mind that that's going to be you. He works faith. Has he worked faith in you? Paul says of the gospel, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. As you know, what manner of men we were among you for your sake. I will not preach a gospel that doesn't have much assurance. I will not preach a gospel that says, well, you believe, and if you believe, you may have doubts, you may sit where you are, you may be just as worldly but not as immoral or something, but you have faith now. I am telling you what the Bible says faith is. You examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. I won't preach a gospel that says, well, what have you got to lose? I won't preach a gospel that says, you go ahead and you make your decision, and then you go on your merry way. I won't preach that gospel. I'll preach the faith of Jesus. And the faith of Jesus is this, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence then, we have spoken of the substance, the evidence of things not seen. The evidence, the convincing proof, the conviction, which is a heartfelt reality. It is a reality. This is a conviction which is not of man, but from God. The convictions of men can be fickle, can change. But God writes this conviction on our hearts. God works this. It's not a simple mental assent. It is a heartfelt reality. The evidence of things not seen. It is a conviction of the reality of things not seen. Faith gives the soul spiritual eyes to see all the things a natural man cannot see. To see the things the saint in glory will someday see. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. The only other place in our English Bible where the word evidence is used is when Jeremiah buys a field. He buys a field and it refers to the legal title deed of that purchased property. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. And so true faith within the heart is a true evidence of things not seen. But they are revealed in the Word of God. The Word of God reveals them. We have the evidence in our heart that this is all true. This is all reality. This is all promised to the people of God. I'm speaking of things such as heaven, the eternal paradise of God with all its glory and all of its gladness. I'm speaking of that far country that our father Abraham looked toward, that city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. This is what I'm speaking of. And this is, we read of these worthies in Hebrews chapter 11. This is what they looked to. You see, they had the evidence of this, and it persuaded them. And they embraced these promises, and they died in faith. And they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They certainly saw the coming of the Messiah. And seeing him, they saw beyond him to that city which hath foundations, to that fruit of faith and regeneration. And you know, we see through a glass darkly, but the glass was even darker for them. And look at the effect of faith on their life. We're talking about what faith is. But then the apostle goes on and says, here's the effect of true faith. Oh. You say, well, yes, but they were strong in the faith. You're playing a dangerous game. You're playing a very, very dangerous game. There is no such thing as strong in the faith and faith without works. And faith that doesn't motivate the Christian to follow after his Lord, to come out of the world, to be a pilgrim, to be a stranger, to have a burning desire to know the Lord Jesus Christ more and more, and to serve Him. Faith makes heaven a heartfelt reality. The true believer is absolutely, immutably, unmovably convinced that he has a title deed then to that place which Christ hath prepared for him in paradise. Doesn't mean that he can't struggle spiritually. It doesn't mean that the devil might have his little day once in a while. We pray less and less. It doesn't mean that death is not still an enemy that we have to deal with. But we know. We know that our Redeemer lives. We know we will see him in this flesh. For the worms destroy it, God will raise it up. We know we have eternity in heaven. We know it. And not all the devils in hell and all the false teachers and all the apostates and atheists can convince us otherwise. We have heaven. And by faith we see. And I trust more and more, and I pray more and more, all the glories and realities of heaven promised in the Word of God. We have tasted the powers of the world to come. Some have no taste for it, and so they don't taste it. They don't have faith. Do you have faith? Have you tasted the powers of the world to come? Do you have a soul thirst to taste them more and more? This is faith. Paul says this, a great man of faith says, for our light affliction, and think of his affliction as an apostle. which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And yet he looks at them. Paul says he looks at them. We look at them. We see them. There's an evidence in our heart. By faith, we see them. The just shall live by faith. And faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, the Lord has given us a distinct and clear description of faith. We could preach much longer on it, but we won't. We'll make a little more application before we're done. He's given us a distinct and clear definition of what faith is. It's not some concept. It's not something wrought by the will of man. It's not clinging to an opinion. But it's something that God works in us. It is powerful. It is heavenly. It is immutable. It cannot be effaced from our heart. The Lord gives us this understanding of faith. And then he goes on, the Holy Spirit by the apostle, in the same chapter of Hebrews, it starts with, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He goes on and he gives us examples of the effects of faith. Now we should consider what these men and women attempted for God, gave up for God, suffered for God, accomplish for God. We ought to consider it. We should consider that those who live by faith walk by faith, not by sight. But this isn't a blind faith. A blind faith doesn't produce what we see in Hebrews chapter 11. Those were men of like passions as us, and women of like passions as us. These are men and women of weaknesses such as we have. Look how they walked by faith. It's not a blind faith. No, not at all. We have a seeing faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. But yet, we have a seeing faith. A comprehending faith, an apprehending faith, a faith which is a substance and an evidence of all the promises of God in Christ. And so the just who live by faith live in this similitude of what we see in Hebrews chapter 11. We don't do the exact same things. In some cases we can't. But we live after this way. There's a similitude of this. People who see that far country, who live as pilgrims and strangers in the world, and having the substance of eternal life and the evidence of eternal glory, we then have a soul thirst to know more of Christ and the power of His resurrection. I say we have a soul thirst to know more of Christ and the power of His resurrection, and to have less of us and more of Christ. We have a growing desire to serve Christ and to bring glory to the God of our salvation. We have a growing impatience with our own weaknesses and with anything within us that's not of God. And we have an abiding then, I say we, those in Christ, those who have faith, have an abiding and growing love for spiritual things, for heavenly things. A growing desire to see Christ's blood-bought church revived and all glorious within. A concern for the church of Jesus Christ. He has raised up this church, His church on the earth. He has given her a government. He has formed her in local churches. He has tasked her with the responsibility of being salt and light. And there is such a contempt for the Church of Jesus Christ, the true Church of Jesus Christ. Those who have faith have a growing zeal to contend for the faith, to contend for that glorious gospel faith. Is that you today? Is that you today? Do you have faith? Do you have this evidence and this substance? Do you have the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen? Do you or do you not? Should you be concerned for your soul? Now, I spoke of what follows verse 1 in chapter 11 of Paul's epistle to the Hebrews. And you are missing the point. You are not comprehending the truth. If you don't realize that these men and women are set forth before our eyes to show us the reality, the efficacy, and the power of true faith. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. These men and women are set forth for a reason. They're often used to inspire people to get involved in one good cause or another. I'm not saying you shouldn't use them for that if the cause is of God. But the primary purpose they're put forth is to show the effects of true faith. Not to say, let's be heroes of the faith and do such and such. They are set forth to show us the reality, the efficacy, and the power of true faith. Do you have that substance of things hoped for, that evidence of things not seen? If this is faith, we need to ask ourselves, do I have faith? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, the Word of God provides many, many examples of the practical, actual, and spiritual effects of true faith. True faith in the life of true believers. And history, from the closing of the canon of Scriptures onward to the present age, provides many more such examples. And then we can just look around us today, yes, even in this country, to see people serving the Lord, people living by faith. And we can certainly look at the persecuted church. And yes, we will see examples of true faith. I say we can look around ourselves today and see people who are truly living by faith, contending for the faith. With this evidence we have of things not seen, the substance of things hoped for, how can we sit idle at a time like this? We've asked the question, then, what is faith? We have to answer the question, do I have faith? Do you have faith? I'm not asking if you're moral. I'm not asking if you homeschool your children or Christian school them. I'm not asking if you take the right stand on abortion or homosexuality. I'm not asking if you're a nice person. I'm not asking if you have love even. I'm not asking if you made a profession of faith. These are all questions anyone close to you can answer. I'm asking you the question that you'll have to answer. I'm not even asking you if you have sound doctrine, as important as these things are. I'm asking you if you have faith. And your answer will determine where you spend eternity. Do you have faith? In the balance hangs heaven and hell. And you may be suspended right now over hell. And you don't even realize it. I'm a Christian, you say. And your pride won't allow you to respond to that voice of the Holy Spirit. It's not the devil, it's the Holy Spirit. Warning you of your peril. You don't have faith. You don't have the substance of the things hoped for. You don't have the evidence of things not seen. You don't have it. Ah, you've come this far. You've made a profession of faith. You've been in a church for a long time. You've got the right doctrine. You've told other people, this is the right way, walk ye therein. Let me explain to you the doctrine of justification. Let me explain to you the doctrine of sanctification. Let me talk to you about the great heroes of the past. But you don't have faith. So it's very hard to say, no, I didn't have faith. I don't have faith. I need to seek the Lord while He may be found. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Don't ever try to convince me. Don't ever try to convince me that I shouldn't be concerned about professing Christians who year after year after year live worldly, spiritually apathetic lives. Even rebellious lives. Don't ever try to tell me I shouldn't be concerned about the inconsistent, about the spiritually dull, about the spiritually cold, about the spiritually lazy, about the foolish, about the selfish. Don't tell me not to be concerned, because if you do, I will contend with you for the faith of the gospel. How could true faith, the substance of our eternal hope in Christ and the evidence of our eternal life with Christ, not create a soul thirst to know Christ better, to serve Christ more faithfully, to see more of heaven, to know more of the power of Christ's resurrection, to follow Christ more closely, to love more what He loves, to abhor more what He abhors, to defend what He defends, to contend against anything that's raised up against Him. Anything. By anyone. How could true faith not do all of that? And I say, woe to them who convince themselves, well, I have faith. But they don't. There's no faithfulness. They live more like a worldling than a pilgrim sojourning toward that far country. That city whose builder and maker is God. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I will say a word on context and close with that. It is no coincidence that chapter 11 of Hebrews is preceded in chapter 10 by this. Now, the just shall live by faith, and if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. It is no coincidence that we see this. The apostle writes this, and then he writes, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. And then this is followed by verse after verse after verse. In fact, 39 verses, which speak of just men and women living by faith. And then what? Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore? Seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You have faith? You have faith? Then look at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him. What's been set before you? What's been set before you? Are you willing to endure the cross, to despise the shame, to fight a good fight, to run a good race, because of what's set before you? Do you have faith? Do you have faith? Do you have faith? Do you have faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Do you have faith? Then thank God for it. Don't take it for granted. Don't use it as a way of building yourself up, before other men. Do you have faith? Thank God for the faith. And be the sort of people that a minister could say of you what the Apostle Paul said of the Roman church. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world.